Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, for this week's Executive Chair, I want to bring you something from our recent trip to South Africa for the EY Entrepreneur of the Year CEO retreat, which happened down there a couple of weeks ago. While we were in Cape Town, we met a fascinating expat called Frank Gormley. Have a listen to this.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.
Now, I'm delighted to welcome to the programme Mr. Frank Gormley. He's an Irishman. He's chairman of BISA, that's the Business Ireland South Africa Group. And he's a man with a lot of experience out here, and he's very welcome to the programme. Frank, welcome.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you very much, Steve.
Now, just a little bit about yourself, Frank. You're a Ballinamore man, County Leitrim, schooled in New Ross, early child prodigy, as you say yourself, at UCD. I think studied commerce there, but you became a young accountant. Tell us more.
Yeah, growing up in New Ross at the time, not a lot of us went to college. It's funny, when you look at Ireland now, everybody goes to university. But in those days, in the early 70s, going to university was quite unusual. And for my class in the CBS, the Christian Brothers, only a handful out of my year went to university. And I was very lucky at the time. I had a good headmaster, Brother Long, I always remember. He was really kind gentleman, and they haven't always had good press, but he suggested that I should go to university, press ahead. I got offers of quite a few jobs, including the bank and teaching and all the usual jobs. But rather than take the jobs, I decided to go to university, and I was very lucky I made that decision.
You've had a very interesting early career, working in the underground in Washington, D.C. You found your way to KPMG as an accountant, where you trained for your accountancy exams, but there was still the wanderer, there was still the man who wanted to work somewhere else. Tell us more about how KPMG gave you that opportunity.
Yeah, I went to work in KPMG in Dublin in Harcourt Street, and I trained and qualified there, and must say I got a great training there. Enjoyed it very much. Good social life, good work-life balance. But I specifically said to KPMG that I wanted experience abroad, because I wanted to get abroad. I wanted to see a bit of the world. So I asked them for a foreign placement for a period. And I'd been pushing them pretty hard for a while. And eventually they came back to me and said, OK, we've struggled to find the thing, but we've got a placement for you now, and it's in Iran. So, like, I mean, where? I was not a shock.
What year is this?
This was 1978. Not the best year to go to Iran, because it was the year of the revolution.
Yeah, and you told a funny tale about your international rugby career, that you were capped for playing for Iran against Taiwan, I believe it was.
Thailand.
Sorry.
When I was forced to leave Iran, because the war had really erupted, the uprising was hectic. They were shooting people in the streets, so I had to bail. And my contract wasn't fully finished, so I had a few months spare, and I decided I bought a round-the-world ticket. And I just managed to hook up with some guys from Australia and New Zealand who had a rugby trip to Thailand. And I did play a bit of rugby at the time and enjoyed it very much. And so I ended up playing for the Iranian national team, made up of one Irishman and a lot of New Zealanders and Australians. And we played an international match in Bangkok against Thailand.
Well done. Great story. Frank, your second posting with KPMG was a little closer to home, because I think they sent you off to Cork for a number of years. But when did you decide that you didn't want to be an accountant?
I enjoyed my period in Cork very much. I worked because it was an early stage when Apple was coming in and Pfizer and all of these new companies moved into Cork. And yeah. I was part of that period when we were setting up all these amazing new companies with the IDA. And the IDA offices were in the same as us. And a lot of our time was spent with these new companies. But once the new companies are set up and I was going back into doing sort of the same repeat audit work, I just felt I couldn't do that for the rest of my life. And I had been sort of looking at entrepreneurship and saying, well, what is an entrepreneur and who are the entrepreneurs and are there Irish entrepreneurs? And there weren't really any Irish entrepreneurs at the time. But I decided that I wanted to become an entrepreneur, and I managed to persuade one of my fellow partners, a tax partner in KPMG, Ian Young. And the two of us left KPMG at the same time and set up a company called Link. And we managed to raise some capital.
It was a venture capital
company, called Link. But we couldn't find an investment. Not one single investment did we make. We spent about 15 months looking for investments, couldn't find one. So it just contrasts that period then, 40 years ago, with Ireland as it is now.
Yeah. Your career ultimately took you then to the UK, where you got involved in property and doing deals, developing. You did some work down in South Africa in those times in the 90s. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, my first link with was the time of the Lions rugby tour to South Africa in 97. I travelled down with the Lions and went to some matches. But I met some medical guys, and medicine and was very strong. Hospitals were brilliant. The medical system were amazing in South Africa. And these guys wanted to set up in London. So I did a joint venture with them, and we actually built a medical facility in London, and that was my introduction to South Africa. They then brought me down here, and I started looking at doing stuff down here.
Like many people involved in property, the 2007 and 2008 period was costly. Effectively, you lost everything.
Mm. Yeah, I was completely wiped out in 2007, 2008, 2009. I fought a series of court battles trying to not put companies into liquidation, but to get business rescue, because quite a lot of the businesses were very profitable. But unfortunately, I lost those battles. There's a long story there too, but we wouldn't have time here to go through that. But it was years of court appearances and fighting, mostly down here in South Africa. Some I won, some I lost. But at the end of it all, I came out and I had to basically reboot and restart again.
And it was here that you decided to do that. And one of the things, you know, you talked about wanting to become an entrepreneur. That getting back on the horse bit, having been through the absolute darkness and despair of losing everything, of dealing with hostile banks, creditors, all it's all negative stuff. What do you think is in you that gave you that drive and gave you that ambition to go again?
I think the transition from whatever you are to being an entrepreneur is interesting, because when I left KPMG and I was a pretty decent accountant and pretty decent at what I did in the profession, I thought for about 18 months to 2 years after I left that I could never be an entrepreneur, that my mind was so closed. And then suddenly it began to open, and all areas of my brain began to open. And I realized that a lot of us spend our whole lives not exploring areas of our head and our brain that never come to, whether it's marketing or creativity or whatever. And when those areas began to open for me, I found it really exciting, and I knew that I'd make the right decision. It took a while, but then I also realized that when I did end up with nothing, that I felt I could quite easily do it again, because I had been through so much, I'd learned so much, that what you can do once, you can do again. And in fact, failure is a great lesson. I learned a lot of lessons from the failure, a lot of good lessons, and I think it's actually enhanced my life considerably.
And is part of that you've nothing to lose when you've lost everything?
Yeah, but I think you don't have any fear. You know, you don't have the fear of the unknown. You know, when you start out in business, like, we're very driven. You feel you have to do this and you have to do that, and you push yourself extremely hard. But you never feel that you're going to fail. But everybody does fail at some point or other. And it can be small size failure or big size failure. But whatever it is, you do have to get back up on the horse. Like, every team that loses a championship thinks they'll win the next one.
Mm. When you look then at getting back into business, creating a new life and a new business down here, you basically did a deal with Deutsche Bank, which again was difficult because of the situation you were in. Sometimes when you're down, it's harder to get back up because, you know, they don't, banks, etc., don't make it easy for you to re-engage. But you did manage to do a deal with Deutsche Bank, and you've been very involved in the regeneration of the inner city here in Cape Town. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was the thing that fascinated me most, was looking at what was happening in Ireland and the UK in particular, with inner city regeneration, with docklands and all the areas and tax breaks and tax schemes. And I had done a lot of that. So when I saw the state of the inner cities here, I felt that there was a real opportunity if you could get it moving. The hard thing was to get some traction. So I managed to put an Irish investment group together, and we bought two city blocks in the centre of Cape Town. And at the time, 80% of that CBD area was vacant because people were just leaving in droves. When we bought, everybody called us the Mad Irish. It was a group, and they said, you know, they're crazy. These guys are crazy, complete utter craziness. But I also got in Tata from India to do a joint venture with them to build a Taj Hotel. And that whole two blocks of inner city kick-started the regeneration of the Cape Town city centre. And what was 80% vacant at that time is now 8% vacant.
Wow. Okay, well, look, it's a real pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for sharing your journey with us. Wishing you continued success. Frank Gormley there, chairman of BISA, that's the Business Ireland South Africa, entrepreneur, developer and extraordinary man. Thank you, Frank.
Thanks very much, Bobby. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Frank Gormley there in Cape Town, chatting to me for this week's Executive Chair.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.